Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world-famous two-time champs and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news, the home of the BetaRank College Football Statistical Model. This is the Pac-4 podcast. My apologies. But before we start recording, we're still getting used to simulcast, right? I think we got our sound right. I got the ring light and everything. I think we're in better shape than we've been ever. I feel great, Rob. I just worked out.
Just in time.
I'm scrolling Twitter, right? And every video that I'm seeing right now is basically a reproduction of an office or I think you should leave video where they have, you know, they basically superimpose your team's mascot over the teams that are rejected by one conference or the other. So it's really fascinating. A lot to talk today. We are going to do our Oregon and our Oregon State preview. Like I want to continue to focus on the actual teams because these are two fascinating teams in the conference that I think will be really interesting as we move forward into the 2023 and in the 2024 season. Joined by Rob Barron as always. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your school and what you want out of college football. Big news, obviously dropping yesterday. I was on a plane and driving all around California at the time, so I look at my phone. And lo and behold, you have, of course, Oregon and Washington bolting to the Big Ten. And then you have, of course, the corner schools, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado, which had already done so, moving to the Big 12, which leaves, unfortunately, like one of my favorite fan bases in the Washington State Cougars. You have Oregon State and, of course, Cal and Stanford without a home. Cal, of course, spent its like $7 million to make sure that the football stadium that it put on its fault line was in good shape, only to not be part of a conference. And here we are, Rob. How are you?
I mean, wow. I mean, it's definitely been... I've had better days. I mean, even though, you know, the alma mater did find a landing spot, like I'm a huge Pac-12 fan. My sister is an Oregon State alum. She wanted to get a dog and name it Mike Riley so that she could talk to Mike Riley during the games. So it is like deeply sad to be sitting here having, you know, lost the Pac-12 to what is essentially like, for lack of a better way to put it, Fox and ESPN just didn't want anybody to sign a contract with Apple. Just such a stupid, stupid reason to lose a conference.
Yeah, I was, you know, once Colorado went, you kind of assumed that the other shoe would drop, and I was curious on what the terms would be and that kind of stuff. So it kind of seemed like it was pretty much etched in stone that Arizona State was going to leave. Although Michael, you know, find a friend like that's as loyal to you as Michael Crow is to the Pac-12. My goodness, that guy just was held on to the bitter end, man. He's like, hey, we can, if we all still wish it, we can make the best yearbook ever still, right, everybody? And then, you know, at the very end, he's still kicking and screaming as he's going over to the Pac-12. It's Michael Crow, right?
He's the Arizona ASU president.
State. All right. Yeah. I just want to make sure. I always mix him up with the Oregon State president because he was also like fiercely and inappropriately loyal to Michael Scott. So he's kind of mixed them up. So I thought that, you know, that was kind of interesting. But really what jumped out was, and you know this a little bit more in depth than I do, but there was news that the Pac-12 was gonna stay together, the Pac-11 or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you have the Big Ten coming in and offering Oregon and Washington kind of a life raft and $30 million each for them to jump with like escalating money as the years go by. I did think it was interesting when you finally had there's I want to talk about that, but I think let me back up for a moment because there was two just things that made me like die laughing when it came to the actual Pac-12 Apple contract. The first was, we've been waiting for this for like a year and a half, right? And then Apple drops the contract, and they say, but this is going to expire in 24 hours. Like it's a message from Mission Impossible, which I thought was just so stupid. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know who also told me that? The used car salesman that said that I can only get this offer if I sign today.
Right.
And then you leave, and then they call you back after like 3 weeks and say, okay, remember that offer? We'll give it back to you. So there's that. And then the second portion that I thought was fascinating was, you know, it was like 20-ish, you know, low $20 million per school was the ended up being the contract for the Pac-12 that, of course, wasn't signed. But the thing that just jumped out for me was there was like these kind of Avon-type incentives. Like, now if you tell a friend and they recruit a friend and they recruit a friend, then you're going to make $10 million. And it just kind of seemed when you have a bunch of schools who kind of want stability, right? You want to be able to at least project a general baseline. And I guess maybe the baseline was 20 million and then everything else was gravy if you're able to do it. But it just seemed like, look, I appreciate incentives and sales incentives that are incredibly important. But at the end of the day, when you took a look at what the Pac-12 had and just them having to grind almost like a band that's trying to make it. And then they have to drive ticket sales to the venue.
Yeah.
It just, I'm like, what are we? And like, are we right out of college and just trying to get a first job? Like, I don't understand what this is. And those two things I think ended up being a problem.
Yeah. I mean, so, full disclosure, I work at a company that buys video advertising. Like, so I am literally in conversations about buying streaming advertising and buying linear advertising every single day. So I know a little bit about how the industry works. The way Apple has positioned that deal makes sense if you're a streamer, right? Like, you don't have some tax that you can go apply in cable fees to like a bunch of subscribers, whether they're going to watch it or not. Right.
That's true. Yeah.
And so they have to have incentive. Like, I mean, if they give you some flat number, you as a partner are not incentivized to go like make sure you get enough signups to make it economically work, right? And so like you saw this with the MLS deal, and look, the MLS has struggled until they got Messi on to really hit their numbers to bring in some of the extra money. But I do think, I mean, I think, look, I mean, these are the kind of deals that are coming. Like the ability, you know, like I tried to point this out because in the industry itself, right? Like streaming is here, you know, you're already looking at 63% of cable subscribers are over 68 years old, right? Like ESPN is getting shopped by Disney looking for an equity partner. It's not the moneymaker anymore. It's a potential financial liability with all the outlays that they have and the massive decline in cable subscriptions. I mean, by 2027, they're looking at potentially losing 35% more of cable subscriptions of what already is a much smaller number. And on their own, right, like people have projected out that if you were going to try to make ESPN profitable as a streaming service, it would be $50 a month on its own. So I do like when people are running around right now, and I think if you're listening, like if you see a lot of like college football writers and stuff, like almost everyone that they have an industry source in is like some white haired linear dude, right? Who's like, streaming, what is that, right? Like no one wants to be on streaming. And I don't think like, look, I mean, it's clear that yes, streaming isn't there right now in terms of eyeballs. But I think this really could have worked for the Pac-12. I talked to someone this morning who would know. And I mean, literally talks with Oregon and Washington and the Big Ten, that reporting that you saw by The Athletic and by Yahoo that reported the talks had kind of fallen apart overnight. That was true. Everyone was coming in to sign into that grant of rights meeting. And then at the 11th hour, the Big Ten comes back. And the fact that Oregon and Washington take the $30 million tells you where the holdup was. It wasn't on their side. The holdup was on the Big Ten president's side, right? Like, you know, the fact that they would take an offer that low tells you they would have taken that offer no matter what, right? Like the holdup came from Fox needed to get the Big Ten presidents involved. And this really comes, I mean, and you know, there's a great article in the New York Times, which if you go to my Twitter feed, I gift it out that anyone can read, that is about the economics of, like, because Bob Iger, the Disney chairman, went on CNBC and said, like, hey, we're probably looking for an equity partner for ESPN. And people were like, wait, what? Sent shockwaves through the industry. And they're looking for a partner that is probably either can help them figure out streaming, or a partner that is a sports league that can help them cap costs in the future. But they haven't. I mean, like, the amazing thing with streaming is, like, if you think of, like, all that IP that Disney just bought, the fact that they have their own IP and Disney, and they just bought out Fox of Hulu, and, like, and you throw ESPN on there, they couldn't make that bundle work economically, right? Like,
which is wild.
I know. There's so much stuff there. So, like, people are still struggling. Like, so, like, I mean, it's funny to.
But like, if I can just, it was expensive. I mean, I looked at that too, because I said, oh, that's interesting. You know, I can get Disney, and I looked at the price, and I'm just going, this isn't, like, you know. I'll just bum off of somebody else for a bit. Like,
But I mean, the thing of, like, I mean, I had somebody come back and they're like, yeah, but we'll be with you. Like, cause, like, I was like, you know, the Apple deal's not quite as bad as you think. Like, nearly all of these deals are going to have some streaming component in them in the future. Like, congratulations, Big Ten, enjoy some Peacock games, right? Like, all your basketball's going on Peacock practically. You know, like, that Big 12 deal has a ton of streaming on it. You know, with ESPN Plus, like, that's going to be the Big 12 network is basically ESPN Plus. But, like, people were saying, like, oh, we'll be on ESPN and it'll be super accessible. I'm like, guys, like, that's not the future. Like, within the next couple of years, that is not going to be the future. You can't go back. Like, ESPN has been paying and Fox has been paying for these massive rights deals that they've been making by upping subscriber fees. So even as they're losing cable subscribers, they're upping the rights fees that they're charging the cable companies and then passing them on to consumers. But that makes their problem worse, because, like, the more those go up, the more cable subscribers you lose too. So they put themselves in, like, a bit of an adverse selection. But, like, within the industry, people believe that they actually overpaid on the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12 to keep Apple and Amazon out this round. And this feels like this time around, like, you remember the old Pac-16 and NBC was going to come in and I mean, and be the partner for that. And Fox and ESPN were like, no, not happening. We're not letting NBC get involved in this. And they offered a bunch of money to teams to stay. They offered Texas the Longhorn Network to lure them back right from that, just in order to kill it. Like, these guys work together on this. And so, like, out of this, you get everybody basically gets some Pac-12 schools for West Coast Prime at about $30 million a year, right? Like, I mean, like, everybody, I mean, I'm sorry, like, I know that I know the story that you are getting from the folks in the media is, like, the Big Ten did this and blah blah blah, but even, like, ESPN's, like, Big Ten reporter, like, quoted one of the Big Ten presidents saying is, like, the network runs the conference yesterday. And I was like, duh.
So I want, like, one question. I'm in the middle, like, so I just got back into Twitter, and like, right when I jump on, like, 17,000 people have seen this tweet I sent out about USC. I'm actually
the thing that we literally said about USC since, like, 2014 about, like, if the Pac-12 wants to get it, like, get things going, like, it really does need USC to pick it up.
So if you're listening to this, so just some clarification, right? Because somebody basically said that you know, USC was right to leave the Pac-12 because they didn't treat them right, and they held down the conference and stuff. Look, I grew up in Southern California. I got interested in college football literally from the Orange Bowls, where USC, like, dangled Oklahoma and, like, and Iowa and tore their insect limbs off one by one. I mean, like, that's, those teams got me interested in college football. I want USC to be successful. And watching them for 10 years just really destroy any national, right? Like, that's why you had Stanford. That's why you had Oregon. They were filling the gap that USC left behind. So the argument I was making is not that USC shouldn't have been, like, it isn't a premier program. It is. But it, at the same time, you have a lot of USC fans, you know, doing that meme of Wolverine, you know, looking at the picture, and the picture is Pete Carroll. Like, they were looking at that picture for 10 years while Clay Helton and a Sark that wasn't quite sober yet. And he is now, which I'm really excited about. But he wasn't at that time. And they kind of knew that, like, they didn't do their due diligence on that. That harmed the program. So for 10 years, you had a premier program that is a national power that it does have national relevance.
It was the only blue blood in the conference.
Yes. And they were in the top 25, and USC fans are like pointing to, hey, we were in the top 25. I'm like, dude, you're USC. Like, I remember what you can be, and you remember what you can be. So the bummer is, you know, they stopped the conference from expanding, and then they bolted the Big Ten. We've already talked about that. That was really shiesty. And the bummer is they finally have their act together, right? I think look, this program's awesome. I really, really enjoy watching Caleb Williams play football. It is a privilege to watch that. Lincoln Riley is a coach that is going to put them in the right spot. He's ruthless, right? He's throwing money at people like that are part of other teams, and he doesn't care.
Right.
And that's kind of unfortunately where college football is right now. But he's doing it, right? Like he's willing to get in that mud.
I mean, they picked Arizona's pocket. I mean, they took Arizona's three of Arizona's very best players.
Absolutely. Yeah. They just pull them away. And that's what you need to do to win a national title. And now they're going to another conference. That's the bummer. Whereas I wanted that for 10 years and I finally got it. You know what? I'm going to get it for 2 years before they're gone. And that's a bummer. That's a bummer.
Well, you're in a different, I mean, like the Pac-12 is like, look, it's not the SEC. It's not like, I mean, the SEC, Alabama could go hire, you know, like what was the kids, the Shula kid. That sucked. Like you can make a bad hire at Alabama and it's fine because like Florida or someone else will pick up the slack, right? Like that's the way like the SEC is like a Gorgon, right? Like there are just so many heads on this monster, you know, like the Big Ten's a bit different. I mean, they do have some really big fan bases in there for sure. And some of those have not had some great years of late, but like Ohio State, I mean, and you've been to Columbus, but like, I cannot overstate how big of a fan base Ohio State is. Like we could quit the Pac-12 podcast today and start an Ohio State podcast exclusively that, and we would be easily the least popular Ohio State podcast, and we would still probably generate like six times as the number of listeners. Like it is just it is bananas how big Ohio State is, and Ohio State almost never has off days. Right. Like, I mean, they are consistently really good. It is a hard job to screw up. They raise millions. I mean, they have like a $200 million rainy day fund. So like the Pac-12 is a bit more like that Big Ten where you need your moneymaker to just show up to work every day.
Yeah.
And man, the Trojans just were a total, I mean, like hiring the dumbest people. As
Lynn AD. Swan was their athletic director. Yeah,
like, I mean, the real problem, to be clear, the real problem was not the coaching hires. The coaching hires were a function of the idiot athletic director hires that they made, which were like, hey, man, this guy played football. Let's make him the athletic director. Surely that will work, right? Like, I mean, people who had across their careers, like had no experience hiring. They're like, USC's like, yeah, man, that's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. You know, like we can dwell on it for a while. I guess one of the questions I had for you was, you know, I feel really bad for Washington State and Oregon State because those teams tried. I mean, look, the Wayne Tinkle contract was like, just, we talk about bad contracts and dumb ADs, but on the football side, right? We're a football podcast. Jonathan Smith, great, you know, and even like, look, even Gary Anderson before that at the time looked like a good hire.
Yeah, from Wisconsin. Realized. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course what they were able to do before that, like those Oregon State games with the Rodgers brothers, like they've had a really good string of good hires. All they've done is be really solid and punched above their weight for the most part outside of the crater that was Gary Anderson. And if you look at Washington State, you know, Mike Leach, take all the off-field stuff about Rolovich aside, I do think that was a creative, inspired hire. Like it would have been interesting to see what that looked like years, right? Because he had the run and shoot, and it's just interesting and different. And of course, what they were able to do now with Dickert, those are good hires. I think they've really tried. And on the basketball side with Washington State, they've tried some stuff too that I think is interesting with their most recent hire from San Francisco. They don't have a home right now, and then you have Cal and Stanford.
Right, right. I mean, like, as we talked about on the last podcast, like, going literally going door to door. Have you heard the good news about Cal football?
So, I mean, what do you think the most likely scenario is for them?
So look, clearly they're in a tough spot, right? Like, there, no one is going to there was a great, like, so the, you know, they remember last year when the SEC was debating going to 9 games, they went to ESPN and they said, we'll go to 9 games. And ESPN said, we're not going to pay you any additional dollars for that, because ESPN doesn't have the money to go give them that. Uh-huh. So ESPN does not have the money, I think, right now to go overpay. And I'm not saying this in a harsh, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just in a pure business sense. ESPN does not have the money right now to go give Oregon State and Washington State and Cal and Stanford an above market valuation. They don't have cash for it. So they're not going to get that $30 million Big 12 deal. I would also say it is unlikely that the Big 12 looks at them as long-term partners, as somebody they could bring in on prorated deals, where they're going to be able to make it up. I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not sure Oregon and Washington are ever revenue plus for the Big 10. I'm not sure they are. I think there's a pretty big gap between the valuation. I think they actually end up bringing the average valuation down by the time we get to the next contract. That's it. It's hard to see. I mean, like, so here's one possibility. I mean, there's two possibilities. One, I mean, really there are. I mean, maybe Stanford could go independent or something crazy like that. I don't know who's going to buy that contract, but sure. You know, Stanford goes barnstorming. Like, you do not want to be coming up with an independent schedule a year out. Good luck. But
yeah.
Trying to find enough open dates to make that work.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I just think for Stanford, or for those teams, is like, your options are you join the Mountain West, right? Like, the Mountain West takes you in. The other one is, and look, the Mountain West can, if enough teams say we want out, it can dissolve, right? And so they could invite in teams from the Mountain West. I know people are saying, like, oh, you can't get past the grant of rights.
It's like a $30 million.
Yeah. But you get enough teams to vote for it. You get a super majority, and they can basically vote to end the conference. And then join, you know, the Pac-12, what, you know, and then they would just join onto that con, you know, whatever that con, whatever that's going to be. Your options there are probably, I mean, like, are probably get you slightly better money if you can convince a majority of teams in the Mountain West to jam out of the Mountain West and come to you. You would, I mean, and I grew up in Wyoming, but you would probably want to cut somebody like Wyoming, which is like the smallest population of any state in the country, right? Like, I mean, you probably are looking to, at that point, like, cut the smallest earners in the Mountain West out, but you're looking at like $8-9 million a year, maybe. So with the, you know, but like, you want to keep the number that you're, like, it's tough because, like, you want to keep the number that you would bring along really small, as small as you could get it, and still get enough votes to perhaps dissolve the Mountain West. Or, I mean, I guess like three, and I haven't had a chance to read this. Canzano just reported out that there is a bunch of money within the conference that those four schools are sitting on, like $400 million, of which they can, I think, mostly use for themselves. I have no idea how any of that's going to work out.
It would be like, I think we've talked about this before, and I forget where else I heard it, but if you're Cal, do you want to play football? Like, I mean, like the Wilcox hire was, I mean, he's a real football coach, so I'm not
right.
Trying, but it just seems like the rest of the administration is like, yeah, I mean, yeah, take it or leave it. And it would be really funny to me if UCLA is still paying Cal to not play football, right? It's almost like the equivalent of a coach. Like,
you're desperately like nudging Cal of like, are you sure you want to do this? Right? Like, but I mean, it is Cal. I mean, look, the West Coast got hit by demographic changes first too, right? Like California became majority minority a long time ago before the rest of the U.S. The rest of the U.S. is on that track. Like the rest of the U.S., like I think in U.S. elementary schools, we're already there, right? There's just lower engagement with football than there has been. Like, you know, high school player numbers are down nationally. Now there are a couple places where they're up, but like nationally overall, they're down. You know, like I'm not saying like, I mean, I just say this is like, I think in the long run trend, like I think college, like some of the effects that we've seen in the West Coast of like disengagement with football, which like some of which is like USC sucking. But some of that disengagement is going to come to the rest of the country eventually too. But like if you're Cal, like, I mean, you have your student body. I mean, UCLA student body isn't terribly engaged.
No. Oh God. No.
Like, and USC, like, USC has some engagement amongst their students. I mean, like, I think people also do actually care about going to USC for football too. But if you're going to UCLA, you're going to UCLA for the academics. Like, you're going to Cal, yeah, you're going for the academics. You're going for Stanford, you're definitely going for the academics, right? Like, and I think there's just been a big transition as the populations that are less engaged with football first and foremost. And I don't say this like this isn't like a racial thing or anything like that. I just think kids are growing up with less interest in football and maybe team sports in general, right, than we used to. Like I look at my kid, like we don't play a lot of team sports the way I did when I was growing up, you know, and like neither do his buddies. So I just think there's like, I think things are like, I think those changes happened in California a while ago. Now they're coming to the rest of the place, but they're not like, that's not going to change for Cal, right? Like you're not going to start bringing in a bunch of like students that grew up on football. They're not, it's not coming.
Yeah. It just seems like that's a school where I think if you really gave the administration a choice and it came down to like, right, the money is so big that they just, I mean, you kind of have to say yes, but if the money's not that big, like why bother?
Their debt, you know, is huge. I mean, that's the, like, I mean, like main campus had to help them out. Like when I was joking, like, I mean, and I kid you not, like some like Oregon's president said that like, cause they're taking $30 million and it's going to increase by $1 million every year. So they'll be at like $36 million on the last year of the Big Ten contract. They're like, so he said, but on average over our first 10 years in the Big Ten, it'll be $50 million. And I was like, oh, I can do that math. That's easy. So I was like, so what's he projecting that they're going to make every year in the next Big Ten contract? And right now they're like right around $60 million. He's projecting $95 million for the next Big Ten contract, which would be like a $30 million. And I was like, that's nuts. Like they really have no idea what's happening in TV and in what we would call video as we move to streaming for this at all. And like, they're going to be able to, like the Big Ten told them they could borrow against future earnings. And I was like, are they using that 95 million as their baseline? Cause like, holy moly, these guys are going to go bust. but Cal's there already. Cal is like up to their ears in debt. Main campus had to come in. They've had to bring in, you know, like several, you know, like, you know, try to be as creative as they could potentially be with advertising partners. To, you know, bring them in, that I think is sort of a, it's a tough, I just think they're in a real tough spot, right? Like, I mean, like they can't fold the football program. They'll never pay off the debt. And Main Campus doesn't want to take all that on. Like they've got to try to be somewhat revenue positive. Otherwise, like the athletic department's got to declare bankruptcy.
Do it. Just do it. I mean, like, why not? Let's just do it. If Florida State is looking to Goldman Sachs or whatever for private equity, I mean, like, this is just so ridiculous.
Florida State's in a spot. It's not our deal to talk about, but like Florida State's in a very like rent controlled contract with ESPN. And then the only conference they can go to is the SEC, which is owned by ESPN. Why would ESPN do that?
just get some of that sweet Chinese money, guys. Like,
we need the Saudi. You need somebody that doesn't care about ROI. I mean, the Chinese in a lot of ways don't either. So,
so you know, maybe we split this up into two, Rob. But like, you know, we can keep this streaming on our end. Anything else on? Because we didn't. I was like basically dead with the flu the last time the news came down on Colorado. But, you know, anything else on conference realignment? It's kind of a bummer. It's just, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's just stuff is happening, but we kind of knew this stuff was happening.
I'll say this. Like, I think the second that Kliakoff presented an Apple deal, the conference was dead. Right. And I think he knew that. And people are like, why didn't he present the deal? They've had this deal for a year. And I'm like, I think he knew what was going to happen. I think he knew that Fox and ESPN were going to like basically pull the conference apart in order to keep them from signing with Apple. So like, I mean, it's not that like, I just want to say like the Pac-12, like they made it, like he, I think it takes a lot of heat. He said some dumb stuff in public. Fine. I think he had to sort of like rally the troops, whatever. I think they made one huge mistake. And then after that, I think the table was set. I think they let the Big 12 get in. I mean, yes, like to your point, like not expanding, letting USC dictate that was dumb, right? But I think letting the Big 12 get in front of them in getting a TV contract done, that killed them. That was it. Like there was no more big money left behind at ESPN and Fox. They had spent it on the Big 12. Like that was it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so like once they made that mistake, right, and ESPN and Fox just sort of like sat back underbidding Apple, you know, like letting him sit on that deal and seeing if he would come back down to their number, knowing that if he presented the Apple deal that they were going to come do this to him.
Yeah. No, that's we almost should have led with that, because I think that is something that hasn't gone out there as much, because everybody's just dumping all over him. And I'm looking at like, look, the guy, you're right, he did say some ridiculous things, but what are you going to say in these conferences? Like, you know, like you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you are waiting, I mean, like, if you're waiting, and I mean, he was just trying to buy time, I think, to try to figure out something. But like, but to your point, the cake was baked early, and that was when the action was supposed to happen. I'm fascinated with this Big 12 conference, because, and we talked about this a little bit before we were recording, but I mean, UCF doesn't make sense, and Cincinnati doesn't make sense from a travel standpoint. And West Virginia doesn't make sense.
I mean, like the Cincinnati one is like, oh, I can go to some away games.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an easy drive, and it's a cool stadium.
But if you're the four corner schools, you know, regionally, it's not as bad. Like, I think the Big Ten looks stupid, right? Because I mean, that's such a long flight, and you think of the baseball players and the softball players. I mean, like, it's dumb. The Big 12 is a little bit more regional. It's a little bit more quirky. I just think it has more of that college football culture, where you do have the small schools, you do have teams that like kind of have to work for it. Whereas the Big Ten feels a little sterile. I'm afraid it's going to be more sterile. Like, I think the Big Ten and the SEC are going to turn into what we thought it was going to turn into, which sucks. Like, I really don't want to watch that. I have four kids now and like full-time job and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm looking at college football landscape and just going, you know, what part of this do I want to watch? And I think the Big 12 is part of that. I mean, the Big 10 is going to have awesome football games, and those players are going to be great. But I do think that there's going to be a more sterile environment to it as we keep moving forward, and as more and more money gets spent. I just think it's going to be more professional, and that's a bummer.
Because like the majority of the Big 10, I mean, like we talked about, like the Big 10 is not a Gorgon. It doesn't have a many-headed monster where you're going to be like Texas and Auburn, Texas and Georgia, Texas and Ole Miss, right? It's going to be Washington. Like, Washington's not going to play Michigan every year. They're not going to play Ohio State every year. You're going to get some good games in there on the schedule, but you're going to get a lot of Iowa and Wisconsin and Northwestern and Rutgers and Indiana and Purdue and. Oh, buddy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, so.
Which to the point, like, that's a fun, those are fun non-conference games, right? Like, that was the whole charm. It was like, oh, they're playing Purdue. That's kind of fun. Right. Oh, they're going down to West Lafayette. How fun is that? But, like, not in your conference games. You know, that's not what you
want. Well, I mean, but people, like, I mean, like, the Big Ten is carried. Like, I mean, like, Fox Big Noon will basically, like, pick the Buckeyes against anyone.
Everybody, yeah,
anyone, yeah. Because it doesn't matter, because that's how big a numbers Ohio State does, right? Like, I mean, and they absolutely do, right? But like, it's not gonna, like, you know, like, you're in with the behemoth, right? Like, that's the thing, is I'm like, yeah, you'll get some decent spots, but you'll be going up against like the 330 SEC spot, right? Like on ESPN. You might get like the primetime spot on, you know, the NBC, right? Like, but like, it's true. Like most, I mean, the big 10, I mean, like adding USC was a really good get for them. Cause that's like, kind of like adding another Michigan ish type school. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The other one, like, I mean, Washington and Oregon, like that one, I'm like, I'm just like, I mean, it does make it a little easier. Cause like now you can say like Washington and Oregon and USC and UCLA can all play each other every season. And then you sort of figure out pods or something like that. And maybe they can, who was it that had like no rivals? Was it like Penn State doesn't
Penn
have,
State, Penn yeah, State doesn't
have any, they'll figure out some rivals for Penn State or something like that. Right. In this protected rivalries. But like that,
like arranged marriage.
Yeah. I mean, and it is true. Like Penn State's like another one in there. Right. But like, you're not going to get, like, you're going to have so much like ho hum, like this sucks type games. And like, I get it that like, what I understand is that like, if you're a Washington, like if you're one of those fans, you're like, how is that any different than playing Oregon State? And the difference is like history and distance. Yeah. Like, you probably know a lot of Beaver fans, right? Like, you know, yeah, a lot of Iowa fans out there in Seattle. Like, I mean,
and it's that, like, you know, oh, remember the Rogers brothers, or oh, like, yeah, you know, there's just a lot of that where you just go, there's a lot of history there. Yeah. I totally feel you on,
like,
that.
I mean, that's what makes it interesting. And the fact that like, Oregon State's really going to get up for that game, right? Like, I mean, you know, yeah, like they're going to give, yeah, you a really good shot, you know, like, and stuff like that. Like, but also I got to say, this is like, cause I think part of what makes these games sound so interesting is we get I care about, like, and I often say, like, it's not how you play, it's not how you, whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Cause that's how the model evaluates you, right? Like, I really care about how you play the game. Humans care about wins and losses. Like, we're wired to think that way. I mean, even as I watch Arizona, I'm like, I want wins, not loss, you know, like, and I'll take wins even if we don't deserve them. That is not like, so like these teams are, they're going to take some L's. Like, you are going to take some losses, in here, like Texas and Oklahoma, like teams that are used to piling up gaudy records in their own conferences. Part of what makes them attractive, really attractive matchups on the big TV to casual fans, right, who are not fans of those teams, is the gaudy records. And you're not going to have those now, right? So like, casual fans are maybe like, I mean, sure, like Washington could be one of the best teams in the country. They also might have three or four losses towards the end of the season, right? Like, for casual fans, like, that's going to feel like a ho-hum game, at least until we maybe like get used to, you know, whatever the new records are going to look like. But that's going to take a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fascinating to see what, but I just love the hipster conference. Cause that's the Pac-12 or the Big 12. The Big 12 is going to be the hipster conference where it's like, everybody tries, like, you know, BYU is going to be feisty and, you know, it's going to be tough playing there. And,
yeah,
you know, Cincinnati's trying to figure it out. That's going to be kind of a disaster for a while.
Cincinnati's
like,
going to be Central bad Florida, this year. BYU's, yeah, also going to be bad this year.
BYU. Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, just in general, like, I think that you have schools that are committed to committed to football. Yeah. And that's not that wasn't the case with Stanford and Cal. And oftentimes, like with other schools in the Pac-12, with the hires that they're making, like, yeah, like Arizona, yeah. Like, let's go hire Kevin Sumlin and just sit on him for a while. You know, there's just ASU, like, hey, let's hire Herm Edwards. Yeah. It just seems that the Big 12 has this, there's a culture of college football there, yeah. And that will be fun. And I just think that you're going to, there's just quirky teams and quirky coaches. And that's why I love college football. So, I'm curious to see what that looks like. We're not a basketball podcast. Obviously, that's like a Goliath on the college basketball front.
Right. The only thing I care about I don't want to go to Kansas City. I want to go to Vegas.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It was funny. Like, there's that one guy that was talking about he's like, RIP T-Mobile Arena. I'm like, oh, you must not have been around. No,
the MGM was the truth, man. Like. Yeah. The best part of,
new here, aren't you?
There's like no, there's like no bad seats in the MGM, and like you're right on the court. I mean, every seat you feel like you're right on the dang court and there, but also it was like, you could walk out in between. I mean, the food in the actual MGM arena was terrible. I mean, like boiled water, hot dogs. I mean, just the worst food.
Oh, it's garbage.
But you could walk out into the casino and get all the food you wanted from the casino restaurants and then come back in. It was great. And like, so T-Mobile is like a sterile NBA type arena, NHL type arena. And you're like, yeah, all right, fine, whatever. Right. Like the MGM was great. Like, and you were like, you felt like you were like sitting like right with all the opposing fans. Like I went to an Arizona, he touched the ball semifinal with Arizona and UCLA. Yeah. And like, it was nuts in there between Arizona and UCLA fans. But like, that sounds like way more, like, I can't imagine, like, I'm sorry, but like, I'm not going to Kansas's backyard for the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Like, oh yeah, I'm sure it's nice. There's lots of places that are nice. I've heard Indianapolis is nice. Like
the T-Mobile Arena reminds me of, like when a Sears goes out of business and they're trying to fill the spot, and then a costume palace shows up, you know, for Halloween, and they sell the things and they tear it all down.
Yeah.
Like, that's what T-Mobile Arena feels like. It feels like it feels temporary. Right. Like, you know, let's just hang all the banners up and then take them all down and hope that the building doesn't fall apart. Like, I hate that.
I will say too, is like, getting into a good basketball conference is fun. Like the Big 12 is going to be a really fun basketball conference in the way that the Pac-12 was very, very much not.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know.
I mean, like no one cared about basketball. Well,
talk about your L's too, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like Arizona's it's not going to be an easy conference. Like, you're not going to be able to run over Oregon State and Washington State.
And I think that's a good thing, because I think Arizona and UCLA got a wee bit placid. I think they got
a little pudgy.
They
did.
They went in the NCAA tournament with some gaudy records, and they lost to some saviors of the world.
Yeah. They weren't running every day. Yeah. They were just, every 3 days.
You only got to go out and beat Oregon State, like, or Cal or Stanford. I mean, what's the big deal, right? Like,
all right, So we're going to keep recording, right? This is the magic of video. We're going to go into the Oregon. Do you have time to do Oregon's?
I do.